Hi everyone, and welcome back to the 33rd video for the New Testament Survey course. In this section, we'll look at Paul's epistle to Philemon, the last of the prison epistles. And Philemon is also the shortest of Paul's epistles. Remember, the order of Paul's epistles is mostly by size, and that's why Philemon is last. And this is one of Paul's most personal letters. In terms of the historical background of Philemon, the author is Paul, and he referred to himself as a prisoner of Christ Jesus. And the recipient was a man named Philemon. And it was also intended to be read by the church that met in his home. This was one of the house churches in Colossae, so it was at least part of the same church from the letter to the Colossians. And notice that Paul and Philemon had a history and were fairly well known to each other. The date of the writing of this letter is around 60 to 63 AD. It was written and delivered at the same time by the same messenger as the book of Colossians. Now, the occasion of Philemon can be seen fairly clearly from the book itself. Paul knew Philemon and somehow was influential in his salvation. Possibly Philemon was converted at Ephesus. And Philemon had a slave named Onesimus. Onesimus ran away and probably stole from Philemon in the process. Now, in the Roman Empire, runaway slaves were liable to the death penalty. And Onesimus somehow made his way to Rome and happened to meet up with Paul, who was in prison in Rome at the time. And Onesimus was converted and became very helpful to Paul. Since Paul was sending a letter to the Colossian church, he sent Onesimus back to Philemon, and this letter accompanied him. Now, let's talk about the purpose of this book. Think about what you would do in Paul's situation. Paul needed to do what is right and legal and send Onesimus back, which, by the way, was for Onesimus' own protection, so that he wasn't caught and killed as a runaway slave. But he did not want to send him back to slavery and punishment. So he sent a letter advocating for Onesimus to be forgiven and received as a Christian brother. Paul made sure not to command Philemon, but he made a friendly appeal from someone who had the authority to command. This letter is very tactful, and I think it's a brilliant example of godly persuasion. Now let's look at the organization of this short book. The first three verses are a typical epistle introduction, with a salutation and peace wish. Then is a typical thanksgiving and prayer report. In this section, Paul thanked God for Philemon and his spiritual maturity and faithfulness in all matters, which was pleasing to Paul. And Paul prayed for Philemon's continued spiritual effectiveness and insight to do good. It's almost as if Paul was buttering up Philemon to suggest that he continue to do what is spiritually right. And then, in the next section, Paul made his appeal for Onesimus. And this portion has three subsections. In the first, Paul emphasized that he was not giving a command, but making an appeal for Onesimus. Paul made it clear that he had the authority to order Philemon to do what is right, but he refused to do so. And he shared that Onesimus was converted and became like a son to Paul in his chains. In the second subsection, Paul said that he was sending Onesimus back, not just to be a slave, but to be welcomed as a brother. Paul stressed that it was right to send him back, even though Paul wanted Onesimus to continue helping him in Rome. It was more important that the relationship be restored between Philemon and Onesimus. And in the third subsection, Paul appealed to Philemon to welcome him back. And Paul added that he would take upon himself any liability that Onesimus may have caused Philemon, hinting that since Philemon already owed Paul so much spiritually, that he shouldn't make a big deal about it. And then the last section is a standard conclusion, where Paul announced his intention to visit, and he gave greetings and a grace wish. So that is the overall organization of Philemon. Now, let's look at the content of Philemon. A couple of general observations. First, as I mentioned, the book of Philemon is a masterpiece of persuasion, but it is not manipulation. Paul commended Philemon for doing what is right. He reminded him that he had authority to command him, and he reminded Philemon how much he was indebted to Paul. And then he only brought up Onesimus after he had already appealed to Philemon to do what was right. And he made it personal, clearly stating that Onesimus meant a lot to him. Now, I admit that someone who wanted to manipulate people for their own selfish interests, they could learn a lot from this book. So, how is this not emotional manipulation on the part of Paul? Well, one of the strongest proofs is Paul's integrity and the genuine truthfulness of what he was saying. Paul was upfront and honest with Philemon. He could have ordered him, but instead he asked as a favor. He wanted Philemon to do what he ought to do and not feel forced to do it. And what Paul was asking really was the right thing to do. And Paul did this not for selfish motives, but to do what was right for the sake of the gospel. And I also want to point out a wordplay or a pun that Paul used. In verse 11, Paul wrote that Onesimus was useless to you, but now he's become useful both to you and to me. This is a wordplay because the meaning of the name Onesimus is useful. So Paul was saying, though he used to be useless, now he is living up to his name of useful. Now, in one sense, this is just wordplay. But it also nicely illustrates the fact that by converting to Christ, Onesimus now lived up to who he was named to be. And Paul used his conversion as an argument that Philemon would now have a great benefit by welcoming him back as a brother. Finally, in verse 20, Paul used a verb related to the name Onesimus when he asked to have some benefit, some usefulness from Philemon. Now, let's look at a few key verses from this book. First is verses 8 and 9, which say, "Therefore, although in Christ I could be bold and order you to do what you ought to do, yet I appeal to you on the basis of love." In this passage, Paul insisted that he had authority to command, both because he was an apostle, but also as one who was responsible for Philemon's conversion. But he didn't want to use that authority. Instead, he wanted to appeal on the basis of love. Sometimes it's right to tell people what to do because it's the right thing to do. And we shouldn't shy away from doing so when necessary, especially when we have the proper moral authority to do so. But motivating people by love is even better. Motivating them because they know our love for them and because they love the one who is asking, but even better is that they have come to love what they are asked to do because they've been shown and they now agree that it is good and right. Next is verses 12 through 14, where Paul wrote, "I am sending him who is my very heart back to you. I would have liked to have kept him with me so that he could take your place in helping me while I'm in chains for the gospel. But I did not want to do anything without your consent, so that any favor you do will be spontaneous and not forced." In this passage, Paul stressed that he himself was committed to do what is right. After making it clear that he was personally attached to Onesimus and that he wanted to keep him there in Rome, he told the reasons why he sent him back to Philemon. One reason is that he refused to do wrong against Philemon by withholding Onesimus without his consent. Paul did what was right, regardless of the cost or inconvenience for himself. But the other reason is that Paul was aiming for the win-win. He wanted Onesimus to be reconciled, but then sent back to Paul with Philemon's permission. He wanted Philemon to send Onesimus as a freely given contribution to help Paul's gospel ministry. Just like we saw in 2 Corinthians, Paul wanted the giving to be free, spontaneous, and not forced or manipulated in any way. And then, in verses 15 through 18, it says, "Perhaps the reason he was separated from you for a little while was that you might have him back for good, no longer as a slave, but better than a slave, as a dear brother. He is very dear to me, but even dearer to you, both as a man and as a brother in the Lord. So if you consider me a partner, Welcome him as you would welcome me. If he's done you any wrong or owes you anything, charge it to me. In these verses, Paul is suggesting that God would bring good out of a bad situation, that Onesimus would be reconciled to Philemon. But he would not go back just as a slave, but now as a Christian brother, that he would be dearer to Philemon as a fellow believer. Notice that Paul asks Philemon to welcome him as he would have welcomed Paul. Because Paul and Philemon were partners, sharers together in fellowship, and Paul wanted Philemon to have that same kind of relationship with Onesimus. And lastly, Paul did not leave out the issue of making everything right. Remember, Onesimus stole from Philemon, and that had to be dealt with, so not to continue to rob him. And so Paul asked that to be put to his own account. And I believe Paul really meant it. If Philemon had insisted on being paid back, I believe Paul would have paid. But he was hoping that Philemon would forgive even the debt, because forgiveness is a Christian virtue. And that leads us into the last key verse, which is verse 21. This says, "Confident in your obedience, I write to you, knowing that you will do even more than I ask." In this verse, Paul was still not trying to manipulate Philemon, but he expressed his genuine confidence that Philemon would do what is right. Because as Paul described earlier in the letter, Philemon has proven his Christian character and loyalty to Paul. Those are the key verses from this book. And so now, we'll look at the theological themes of Philemon. The first theme is forgiveness. I think this is one of the major reasons why the book is in the New Testament. Philemon shows that the Christian ethic actually works in the real world. Forgiveness works in the household for those who have hurt you the most. If Christianity does not work here, it doesn't work. But it does work, and the book of Philemon is proof. Well, how do we know it worked? Well, if it didn't, Philemon would almost certainly have destroyed this letter instead of preserving it. And we have another indication in the early second century letter of Ignatius of Antioch to the church of Ephesus. And this says, "In God's name, therefore, I received your large congregation in the person of Onesimus, your bishop in this world, a man whose love is beyond words. My prayer is that you should love him in the spirit of Jesus Christ and all be like him. Blessed is he who let you have such a bishop." This indicates that Onesimus later became the bishop of the Ephesian church and a very loving man, because Paul did not turn him in to be executed, but rather sent him back to be forgiven and reconciled to the master he had harmed. And that brings us to the second theme, which is that Paul relativized slavery. That means that Paul made slavery less important than personal relationship. And one of the reasons I mention this is because of the current emphasis on social justice and the frequent criticism of Christianity for not saying more against slavery. In this letter, Paul has done better than demanding the overturning of slavery. And by the way, if Paul would have insisted on outlawing slavery that very minute, it would have done absolutely no good. It actually would have been counterproductive. So Paul worked to getting the master and slave both converted, making them brother instead of master and slave. And by the way, people that criticize Christianity for not doing more about slavery don't know their history, because the people who overturned slavery were Christians, based on Christian principles such as the letter to Philemon. And they succeeded by first believing and convincing others that the slaves were fully human and part of the same community, not by browbeating others. Then the last theme is personal appeal. In this letter, Paul easily could have pulled rank and commanded Philemon to do what was right, but he chose a different way. He emphasized how much they shared together, and he called Philemon his partner in ministry. And he referred to both Philemon and Onesimus as brothers. And notice how Paul mentioned the word heart 3 times in this letter, once that Onesimus was his very heart, and twice mentioning how Philemon refreshed people's hearts, including Paul's, with his activity. And this is what I already mentioned, that Paul wanted Philemon to voluntarily do what he ought to do because it was right and from his heart, not because he was forced to do it. These are the 3 themes in the book of Philemon. So now let's review. The organization of Philemon is intro, thanksgiving, appeal, and conclusion. And the themes of Philemon are forgiveness, relativizing slavery, and personal appeal. Philemon is a short book, but a heartwarming one. And it's also the last of Paul's epistles in the New Testament. So in the next section, we'll review and summarize some of the things that we've seen in all of Paul's epistles before moving on to the general epistles after that. Thanks for watching.